Bradley Chubb is a Miami Dolphin. What a start to the Catch the Blitz show today on NFL Trade Deadline Day. It's currently 4:21 p.m. The deadline just wrapped up. I'm Thomas Parkner, joined by Christian Catanacci as always. Cat, how's it going on, for the first time ever, a busy NFL Trade Deadline Day?
I think it was the first time in my existence since 1998 that the NFL Trade Deadline was actually... You know, it was a successful one. And I had a weird feeling. I think I touched upon it last week. I said, because last, we'd be like, oh, next Tuesday's the trade deadline. And we were talking about how it was going to be a weird, how it's a weird season. So I felt like, you know what? How fitting would it be for this weird season to have a active NFL trade deadline? And that's exactly what we had. We had a total of, like, I think there was six trades, even. I think maybe even more. There were six pretty
big trades.
Big trades. Yeah,
with right. Like notable players.
Yeah.
It's funny because we are sitting here. It's Tuesday afternoon. We always record our podcast Tuesday morning, and we actually recorded our podcast.
Are we going to tell them, Pac?
We are going to tell them. So we recorded our podcast this morning, and we decided, you know what, we'll do it before. We'll do it regular time because the trade deadline is not usually that busy. We recorded a whole episode, an hour long. It was great. We go, the audio file, completely missing, corrupted. Who knows what happened? So we said, you know
what?
It's
in the cloud now.
Let's just, we'll let the day happen. We'll let all these trades pan out, hopefully, and we'll record after. So it actually worked out.
Yeah, maybe we had diamond hands.
We get to talk about these trades in pretty much real time, right away. Instant analysis. And yeah, like last year, I remember we did a live stream and we were just sitting here twiddling our thumbs. Nothing happened. I think it's because this year there's so many bad teams that it's almost like it's wide open. It's anyone's game. So we got teams that are sort of on the bubble who are just saying, let's go all out and make a big splash for a player.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't want to say expected this. I didn't expect this many trades, but I felt like there was going to be more action than usual, just given the nature and how wide open it feels like the NFL is right now. And there's so many teams that are like in the middle. And I mean, like, if you look at the top, if you look at a team, like, for example, a team that sold a lot today, which is surprising. If I was telling you that the Broncos are going to be big sellers a lot in before the season, you would have called me crazy. But like a team like Denver and a team like Indianapolis, those teams, you sort of, I mean, you look at it and you're like, okay, for us, we might as well just take a step back, let's sell what we can sell, and then retool and sort of get ready for next year, sort of thing, right? Because like you look at the teams at the top with the Bills, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the 49ers. Like, I don't know if these teams can necessarily compete with those at the top. And then you have teams like that are on the cusp there, like the Dolphins and teams like the Vikings. Those teams were like, okay, you know what? This, usually in a normal year, maybe we're not going to go out and be this aggressive at the deadline, but since we see this sort of opening, especially with the Vikings, about how the Packers have just not been the same, let's go out and get an offensive weapon like TJ Hawkinson, a guy that's not just an offensive weapon on the field, but he's a great locker room guy. Like, he's a leader, 25 years old. Like, I really do see the value in a lot of these trades, and I'm honestly really excited to dive into this in real time, because like you mentioned, we recorded this morning, it corrupted, and you know what? Maybe that was... just maybe we're the reason why the trade deadline was as crazy as it is. Because if we had recorded, maybe there's only one trade today.
Yeah, I mean, it ended up working out. Any other week, if this happened, I would have been miserable. We literally had to repeat this exact same show over again, which is always unnatural. But today, like, we pretty much completely scrapped what we talked about in the morning today. Let's just dive right into these trades. Yeah. I guess we'll start off in Miami. Bradley Chubb, former fifth overall draft pick to the Broncos. He's had a really solid career when he's been able to stay on the field. And the Dolphins pay a big price. They give up a first-round pick. The first-round pick is from San Francisco. The Dolphins have now turned the three first-round picks they got from the Trey Lance trade into Jaylen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Bradley Chubb, which is just incredible asset management from general manager Chris Greer. I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this trade.
I like the trade. I like the trade for both teams, to be honest. I was genuinely shocked that Denver was able to sort of get this sort of whole haul from a guy that is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. Obviously, there was a chance that the Broncos are saying that maybe we could re-sign him. But look, there's also a slim chance that he could have just left for nothing, right? Yeah. So I really do see the value that Denver received for a player that there was no guarantee that he was going to re-sign with the team after the season, right? And then we go back to the Dolphins side of things. Like, the Dolphins are all in on the season, right? Like, I think this is sort of indicating that. And not just that, like you mentioned, the Trey Lance trade down, it's Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and now Bradley Chubb. Like, that's three cornerstone pieces. And the Dolphins have done a fantastic job, and they just got even better in a division where you have to compete with the Bills, but not just division, a conference as a whole where you have to compete with the Chiefs as well.
Yeah.
I think the Dolphins are right there, especially after this trade. They got that young pass rusher who, to be fair, has his fair share of injury concerns, but assuming those are in the past, you get this guy signed to a long-term deal. You have a force to be reckoned with on the outside for the next 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, and we talked earlier this morning when a report came out that Brian Burns, the Rams offered 2 first-round picks for him. To me, Brian Burns and Bradley Chubb are in the same category in terms of level of pass rusher. So the fact that the Dolphins just got Chubb for 1 first, I think that's really, really good value. And this is a slam dunk trade for the Miami Dolphins. If you look at what they've, you know, their body of work through 8 weeks, what they've lacked and what they've succeeded in, it's definitely the pass rusher position. You get a premium player like Bradley Chubb that can instantly get to the quarterback and impact this Miami Dolphins pass rush. Because what do the Dolphins do on defense? In the past, they've generated a lot of pressure and a lot of sacks from quarterbacks, but it's constantly from running cover zero, where they're pretty much sending the house, sending the safeties, and that's how they're getting the quarterback. This year, their secondary has been very injured. Byron Jones hasn't played yet. So they haven't been able to run as much cover zero because the secondary isn't as good. Guys can't cover for as long when, you know, all the pressure is going to the quarterback. You get Bradley Chubb. You're now in a position where you can rush 4 and get a ton of pressure on quarterbacks. You pair him with Jalen Phillips. And Bradley Chubb's a guy, he's 3rd in the league right now in pass rush win rate. So he comes with a lot in the arsenal, and I think Miami just got a lot better on the defensive side of the ball.
Absolutely. I think that's a no-brainer, too. And going back to the point that you said about the Dolphins, their ability to sack the quarterback, the Dolphins haven't necessarily had much success in terms of sacks this year. I think they're what? They got 15 total sacks after 8 games.
They're near the bottom of the league, and I think Javon Holland might even lead the team in sacks. I mean, Jalen Phillips as well, but like I said, they rely on safeties to get pressure.
Yeah, so like that's what I like most about this deal is that Miami saw that they had a need at pass rusher, specifically getting to the quarterback and finishing off those sacks, and they went out and got a darn good football player. And I know it sucks for a Denver fan to see Bradley Chubb leave, but look, the fact of the matter is you got value for him, right? And to touch on what Carolina did, by the way, I would have taken 2 first-round picks for Brian Burns. Like, the team's not going to be good in the next 2-3 years anyways. So by the time you're going to be good and you can use those first-round picks, I don't know. Maybe those picks were in 2049.
You know, from the Rams, so I don't even know if they
I don't think they have a first-round pick until maybe we're 85 years old next first-round pick they have. But, hey, these Dolphins, man, for you must be hyped.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, and I think it's like we've seen enough from the offense now to know we can play with anyone. I genuinely believe that. We've beaten the Bills. I know it was at home. We won in Baltimore. Like, these are top teams in the AFC, and we've beaten them. We're 5-0 and Tua finishes games. Now you go and get a guy that's going to make your team that much better. And there I at, like, it's that's a premium position. That's why I'm so shocked that I know the Broncos have had a rough start to the season, but you talk about direction of this franchise. You are tied to a veteran quarterback. You're paying him $50 million a year. You're not ready to rebuild. Why are you giving up a 25-year-old player in, what, the 3rd most important position in football?
Yeah, to be fair,
I don't get
though,
it from them, but I see the
they
value.
They did sign Randy Gregory, too, in the offseason. Like, they have other guys. Obviously, there must have been some sort of rift between the front office and his agent. I assume so, yeah. That they probably weren't anywhere close to a deal. So the Broncos said, you know what, let's instead of putting it up to chance and us settling for a conditional 3rd-round pick, let's just move him and get a 1st-round pick. And that's why I'm honestly genuinely shocked that they were able to move him for a 1st-round pick, because there is that chance at the end of the day. Like, a team could be like, oh, why are we going to trade a 1st-round pick for him? We could just sort of wait and take our chances in free agency, right? But, hey, I applaud the Dolphins being aggressive and going out and getting Bradley Chubb. And there's a price you got to pay for elite talent, right? And I know there's people probably saying that they may have overpaid or Denver sort of sold him on the cheap. But look, there was value for both teams here. And I think that's why I found this trade specifically so intriguing today. That was my initial reaction from it. I'm like, okay, Dolphins got their guy. But I also think Denver sold him properly, right? Like they sort of maximized on his value. And instead of leaving it up for chance for the conditional third round pick, they got a first round pick for it. So I applaud it. And that was... I mean, obviously, there's a few trades that we're going to talk about that after, but that was clear and above, I think, the most impactful and yet the biggest trade that we had today, right? Because he's still an up-and-coming, like, 25-year-old or 26-year-old player. You don't really see those guys move too often, so that's why it was cool to see the NFL trade deadline sort of have some action that we necessarily haven't seen before.
Yeah, that definitely was the biggest name that got moved in Bradley Chubb. The Dolphins didn't stop there, though. They also added Jeff Wilson from the 49ers, which is a move that... You know, I really like the 49ers get to cash in on some value after trading for McCaffrey. And Mike McDaniel gets to reunite with an old running back that he used in San Francisco. And you know McDaniel loves his running backs. He's now got Mostert and Wilson. He's just pretty much brought the 49ers backfield with him, which is good. That's exciting as well. But yeah, there were some other moves, notably Chase Claypool. And I do think this was the weirdest move of the day, but there was also another one with another big name wide receiver who's currently suspended, who also got traded today. So exactly. I guess we'll go into the two receiver deals quickly now. We'll start with Claypool. The Packers were reportedly in on him, as they always are with receivers, but once again, nothing new. They don't make a move. Rodgers is still stuck with what he's got for the remainder of the season. Chase Claypool goes to the Bears, who it's a team that, you know, they're not looking to win now. And they add him for a second-round pick, a pick that they just got yesterday for Roquan Smith. So you're essentially moving Chase Claypool for Roquan Smith. How much does that move the needle for the Bears? I have no idea. Why wouldn't you just hold on to that pick and maybe take a younger receiver in the draft this year? Just a very, very bizarre move to me.
Look, I think there was conflicting reports, too, when Claypool did get traded. Because at first, Albert Breer came out and said that second-round pick that they were trading... to the Steelers was the one that they got from the Ravens for the Roquan Smith deal. So at first, I'm genuinely thinking, okay, so they essentially flipped a year or half a year with Roquan Smith for a year and a half of control for Chase Claypool and a fifth round pick, right? Because they got Claypool and a fifth, I believe it was the deal, something like that. But and then it came and said that it was their personal second round pick. So that's right now is a pretty high second round draft pick. But like Chase Claypool he's got talent. There's no question about that. I think the issue with Claypool is how committed is he to actually producing and getting better on the field? Because there are times when you watch Chase Claypool on tape where he's, I don't know if it's because the team is bad, but it looks like his persona on the field, he's sort of, I don't want to call him lazy, but or that he's giving up, but it comes off like that, right? He comes off with a very sluggish. It's not like he's giving max effort, I should say that. But I see where the Bears were coming from this. Like, okay, the Bears look at their Justin Fields guy, year two man, and they're like, okay, how can we get Justin Fields to take this step? And you look at a few other quarterbacks that notably took tremendous steps once they got an alpha receiver. I'm not putting Chase Claypool at the level of these receivers, but you look at Josh Allen, the jump he took after he got Stephon Diggs. You look at Tua Tagovailoa, the jump he took after he got Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. And then, obviously, you look at... I'm blanking here.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. You look at Jalen Hurts, who took a crazy jump after he got A.J. Brown. And the common denominators, they all took that jump in their third season, right? So I see where the Bears are coming. Like, okay, let's trade for Claypool. If he produces the rest of the season, we got that wide receiver one. And if not, then I expect them. They got a boatload of cap space, like one of the top cap spaces in the league next year. They can go out and get a receiver in the draft or on free agency. But I applaud them for getting weapons for their young quarterback, right? I don't know if necessarily Claypool is the right guy to do it, but you got to applaud the effort.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Also, like, you look at Justin Fields, he wasn't drafted by this regime.
Yes.
So it's almost like they're kind of thinking, like, this is not our guy, so we need to make a decision on him. And I know he's looked a lot better in the past couple weeks, but it's also a little bit smart to say, hey, let's try and make a fair assessment on him now rather than waiting a whole other offseason, because right now he has no weapons.
Yes.
So that's a pass. He gets a pass with no weapons for the season. But if you give him a little bit more, you can make a little bit more of an accurate assessment on whether he's the guy to be the future of the franchise. So that's an interesting one. And talk about Chase Claypool, the potential that he has. When he was a rookie, I thought he was on course to become a top 15 wide receiver one day, because he has the athleticism, he has the size, he can get downfield and make big athletic plays, and he's phenomenal in the red zone. So he has all the raw tools to be there. It's just whether or not he wants to, I guess, commit himself to being that guy. And this is going to take attention off of Darnell Mooney. I am excited to see how they deploy Claypool and if that elevates Fields a little bit more. I guess I was just a little bit more shocked at the price that they had to pay to get Chase Claypool, because Chase Claypool was a second-round pick. He wasn't a first-round pick. So Claypool, who with the Steelers has had an up-and-down career, for them to get a second-round pick back for him, I think was a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I think it was good business for the Steelers, too. Like, it allows an expanded role for rookie wide receiver George Pickens, who's flashed. He's looked tremendous in the opportunities that he's had. Them sort of moving out Chase Claypool and having him, Deontay Johnson, there as the foreseeable future. I like it. The TikTok era is now over.
Yeah, it's sad.
In Pittsburgh. Rest in peace, TikTok era. What was it, 2020 to 2022? Now that Juju and Claypool are both gone.
A year and a half, 2 years.
I thought Claypool would maybe go to the Chiefs. I think that would be that would have been good fit. Him and Jackson Mahomes could have made some TikToks with Juju, right? Like, they could have been reunited and that sort of the TikTok era in Kansas City. But no, look, the Steelers, good business. I applaud the Bears for getting that receiver. I don't necessarily know if I agree with Claypool as that guy, but he's got upside. He's a big body receiver. We saw him at his best. He was pretty dominant that 1 year with the Steelers. I believe it was his rookie year, right? And he was very good. He was very, very good. So I see the upside that the Bears are sort of gambling on. Like, look, let's get Justin Fields a guy. In the meantime, see how he could fare with him. And the one trade, though, I know we're talking about another receiver here, but Calvin Ridley, that came out of like right field.
Yeah, the Jaguars pre-ordered him.
Yes.
it's a weird trade, and it's so funny. I saw this on Twitter from Ari Mayrov. I have to credit him for this. The fact that he bet, like, the reason he suspended is because he bet the Falcons to beat the Jaguars. Now he's going to the Jaguars. Also, betting is not legal in Florida. Like, they don't have like the registered sports books. It's just like, this is poetic. And if this happened and nothing else happened alone, it would be so much more of a talking point, just because so many other trades with big names and players who are actually playing now happened. This one's getting overshadowed a little bit. But honestly, looking forward, again, another young quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, who doesn't have the greatest of weapons. I mean, Christian Kirk has honestly had a pretty good season considering what they paid him. But, I mean, let's not forget, when Calvin Ridley was playing that one season with Matt Ryan, he was like putting up Julio Jones numbers in the Atlanta Falcons offense. He's a really, really good player. I picked him to lead the league in receiving yards last year, I remember, and he had a down season with injuries, and then obviously the suspension came. So I kind of like this move. I think this is a move that we're not going to talk about it now, but down the road, maybe next year, if we see it start to pay off, it could be something that's just a great move for Trevor Lawrence's career and the Jaguars' future as well.
Yeah, well, like when you pre-order a video game, like, you don't really talk about it now. You talk about it when it gets released, right? So that's a perfect analogy. I didn't think about it that way. The Jaguars, I could see the headline. Jaguars pre-order Calvin Ridley from the Falcons. But no, it was a good trade. I don't know. I expected. It's obvious that the Jaguars aren't going to compete this year. And look, maybe they're banking on Trevor Lawrence taking that monster jump, like we mentioned with Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Tua Tagovailoa. Like, you get guys to help your quarterback. It's the blueprint is in front of you, right? Like I mentioned, those three teams showing you that. And look, you could even go as far back to 2018 with Dak and the Cowboys. Like, the Cowboys went out and traded a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. Yeah. Who at the time, everyone was like, what are you talking about? First-round pick for Amari Cooper? And Dak flourished. He made that jump. And it's been going on for decades. If you want your young quarterback to succeed, you need to get weapons for him. And that's why Calvin Ridley is a darn good receiver. Like, I think a lot of people are forgetting about how good Calvin Ridley is, just because we really haven't seen him in it's going to be almost 2 years, right? Because last year wasn't fair to really critique him because his health was a concern. And then when he was on and off the field, and then his suspension came right, and now he's not playing all year. So Calvin Ridley is going to be really out of football for 2 years before we were to see him. So I feel like a lot of people forget about how dominant Calvin Ridley is at his peak. And he's, like you mentioned, Pac picked him to lead the league in receiving yards on the show just last year, right? So look, I'm one probably going to say, okay, the Ridley trade's probably a little bit better than the Chase Claypool trade, even though they are both at max value, a second round pick for receiver. I just like Calvin Ridley. I think he's proven more than Claypool. I think it's fair to say that. He's a great route runner. He's fantastic. And after the catch, he's honestly one of the most efficient route runners, I should say, in the NFL. And I think it's going to help Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars be better in the future, right? And I was a huge, huge fan. And it came like right after there was a trade. I think, was it right after the Chubb trade, or was it?
It was pretty close after the Chubb trade.
It was like right after it, right? So it was one of those that just came out of right field. And I don't think anyone, I wonder what, Calvin, I wonder how much, what was the line that you were getting traded today?
He
can't see now, though, because you're in Jacksonville. Yeah. So you're not allowed.
Honestly, didn't even know that you can trade for players that aren't, like, he's on the exempt list, right? He's not, he needs to be reinstated to play.
Does he? Because he's on the extent, he's suspended, right? I didn't actually know that you could.
Me neither. Like, if you were to give me a list of 1,000 players that could be traded today, Calvin Ridley would not have been, he would not have made my list.
Honestly, so I forgot about was, Calvin Ridley.
Totally out of left field. No way Calvin Ridley's going to the Jaguars. I think we'll go last but not least. We'll talk about another weapon on offense. Big tight end, great in the red zone, TJ Hawkinson. This was sort of the first one to break today.
Early this morning.
And it might be the weirdest because the Lions dealt him within the division, which is just something that's very, very uncommon. Like, you're going to have to see this again, a young player. You're going to have to see him twice a year for the next, you know, 6 or so years if he stays.
Assuming he resigns. But look, he's a great football player. I don't see a situation where they don't re-sign him, I should say, because, like, what are they gonna, I mean, Irv Smith has improved enough to get another contract, right? So there's clearly a reason why they acquired Hawkinson. They traded a second and third for him for Hawkinson and 2/4. So they got 2/4 back in the deal. And there were some mixed opinions about this trade. Obviously, one, because it's within the division, which is super weird. Like, you rarely see that. And this is actually the second trade in the last calendar year, I believe, that because the Vikings traded, the Lions traded up with the Vikings in the draft to draft Jameson Williams.
They did, yeah.
So, hey, these new, what's the new GM's name for the Vikings?
Oh, he has a long
Adafo
name.
Owe, no, what's his name? That's the Ravens pass rusher.
It's Kwesi.
Kwesi. Kwesi.
Vikings GM. I'm going to look it up.
He's got some deals.
Kwesi, and I hope I'm not...
Adafo. Adafo. See, I got it.
Kwesi, Adafo. You said Odafe Owe. He plays on the Ravens.
No, I got Adafo, okay, right?
Anyways, 50%. The point is, these new young GMs, you know, there's a surge of youth. They don't understand the rivalries in the NFL. They're just trading with whoever. They're worse
numbers guys.
Trading. Yeah,
numbers
just,
guys.
Whatever the analytics say, okay, let's make the trade here. So, I don't know. It's a... I love the deal for the Vikings. Even the price to me isn't really that steep. I always think Hawkinson, someone with untapped potential, and he was not getting nearly the usage that he should have been getting in Detroit. So I like the deal for them. I think it'll be similar to Eric Ebron, who another guy that the Detroit Lions used a crazy high first-round pick on, tight end again like Hawkinson. Ebron left the Vikings. He went to the Colts, double-digit touchdowns right away. So you use this guy in the red zone. You already got Justin Jefferson. You got to worry about him so much. You got Dalvin Cook in the backfield. Thielen, this is going to be a new dimension in the Vikings offense that I think is going to take them over the top because, like we said, it's so wide open in the NFC. The division, it's theirs to lose now, but they have to think bigger than that. They've already played the Eagles once, and they got whooped.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe, this is what they need. It's another weapon to help break down a really solid defense like that.
I agree. I've always been a big TJ Hockenson guy. Even when he came out of Iowa, I thought he was just this superstar waiting to happen. He can block, he can catch, he can really do everything that you ask a modern day NFL tight end to do. And to see the Lions trade a guy, like you mentioned, with so much untapped potential, just being just 25 years old, within the division, is very, it's something that you don't really see too often. So, I mean, look, you better hope those Lions hit on the second and third round picks, or else they could realistically be regretting this for the next, you know, foreseeable future, right?
It's not going to be fun seeing this guy two times a year.
No. Oh,
definitely going to say that, because I don't know. It's just like division games are so, so important, and I don't know.
You could already see the writing on the wall. This guy's going to make at least over the next 6 or 7 years, assuming he re-signs, there's going to be a couple division games where he makes a big catch or scores a touchdown late in the game, and you could just see it, because then there's going to be graphics everywhere. Yeah. Lions traded from Lions to Vikings in November of 2022, right? So I can see that sort of the writing being on the wall. Weird trade. It sort of kicked off the day for a bunch of weird stuff, but one trade I think we should also touch on before we sort of move away from the trade deadline after this, you know, second chance or second try at the CTV show today. And that's Roquan Smith to the Ravens. It didn't necessarily happen today. It happened yesterday, but it feels significant. You know, Roquan Smith, a fantastic, fantastic linebacker. I believe he's still leading the league in tackles. It seems like he has ever since he stepped in the league. Roquan Smith goes to the Ravens for a second and a fifth round pick, which the Ravens, now the Bears only have that second round pick after they traded their personal second round pick to the Steelers. But the one thing that really stuck out to me for this Roquan Smith for the Ravens trade is now the Ravens have two players that they have to negotiate contracts with this year.
Yeah, because they're both from the 2018 draft.
And they both don't have agents. They both represent themselves. So that's two very unique situations, right? And we already sort of see the bumps in the road that they have to climb over with Lamar not having his own agent. And to bring sort of another one into that, it's interesting. I got to say that. It's interesting. I want to hear your take before I touch on more about this, because a lot of people are, there's very mixed bag. Like, people are like, oh, the Ravens are legit now. They got that linebacker. But there's another people like, okay, they still have some pretty glaring needs.
Yeah. In terms of on-field production, Roquan Smith, you're obviously adding a guy with a ton of speed. Like, this is a sideline to sideline linebacker. Hence the reason why he leads the league in tackles every single year. Yeah, he has his issues in pass coverage, but if you look at what the Ravens, they've really missed that like alpha dog that can play that, you know, middle of the field position on defense. They drafted Patrick Queen a couple years ago. Again, he's been good, not great. You know, there's been some good moments, some bad moments. So I think Roquan Smith comes in here, and he's a guy that immediately everyone else on that defense is going to get better. That's just how good he is. But at the same time, the Ravens, their flaws this year have come, believe it or not, in the secondary a lot of the times, which is weird because of the amount of talent that they have there. So I don't think this is a move that's it. You put him in there. All is good in the world. They're now way better than they were before. They're a better football team. But I'm still not completely sold that they're on the same level as the Bills and the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Yeah. My initial reaction was like, okay, I mean, they still needed a wide receiver one.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
So I don't necessarily know how much this moves the needle for me with the Ravens. Obviously, you got a darn good linebacker, like Pac just mentioned. There's a reason why he's always up there in tackles every single year. And he's just you could feel his presence, right? When you're playing an opposing team and he's on that defense, you feel the presence of Roquan Smith, which is obviously a plus. Now, did they necessarily need to make that move for a middle linebacker? I know they have missed that sort of since Ray Lewis. I'm not calling Roquan Smith Ray Lewis, but you mentioned Patrick Queen. He's been a good linebacker, but he's not an alpha middle linebacker dog like Roquan Smith can be. So I see the fit and the idea that the Ravens go behind, but I don't know if this necessarily moves the needle for me. I still think the Ravens won't really see much success in the postseason without that sort of alpha wide receiver one that commands coverage and look, it's a lot to ask for. I know Lamar has Mark Andrews, but like, are you going to rely on Rashad Bateman? No.
What
like
about Duvernay?
Duvernay, yeah. Like, Duvernay is going to have one or two games every 5 weeks where he goes for two touchdowns on 150 yards. But, like, it's a lot to ask for. And I know people are going to go right away and say, oh, the system we run doesn't, we don't need a receiver one, this, that. I get it. Look, there is proof for that because, like, Hollywood Brown leaves there. He goes to Arizona, has success, right? But I still think you need just weapons on the outside that demand coverage. Because, look, come playoff time, people just say, okay, look, throw it, beat us on the outside. And they haven't been able to do it, right? So that's still the number one need for the Ravens going forward. I don't necessarily think they are... I mean, the defense will improve as a unit, but I don't think the team will be any better in terms of win-loss with this Roquan Smith trade.
Yeah, it reminds me, because I talked a little bit about, when we talked about the Bradley Chubb deal, how Miami likes to play a lot of, you know, cover zero and just send the house at the quarterback. The Ravens, that's one team that Miami's had success doing that against, and that's strictly due to the fact that they don't have necessarily burners or guys who are just demand a ton of attention on the outside. So you can key in on Lamar, and you can send a lot of pressure and make things uncomfortable for him because he's far and away their best player on offense, and if you shut him down, you're going to win the football game. That's just how the Ravens operate. They live and die with their quarterback, Lamar Jackson, and he's the sole focus for every defensive coordinator each and every week. Definitely they get better on the defensive side of the ball, but I think both you and I agree it doesn't necessarily solve all their issues.
Yeah, I don't think that's a knock on the Ravens at all. I think that's just a fair sort of assumption and looking at positional value versus needs and all that stuff. Like, I think the Ravens are a very good team. I don't necessarily think this puts them over the top, right?
All right, that's it for going over all the big trades that happened today. So rosters are set now for the year. We're about that halfway point in the season. Can't make any more drastic moves to the roster. So barring any injuries, these are the teams that are going to go forward this calendar year and compete for the Super Bowl. So why not have a little fun and look at both of our Super Bowl bubbles? So we got teams inside the bubble who are, you know, they have a very, very good chance of taking it home this year. Next up is teams just on the outside of the bubble, on the cusp.
They're looking in.
They can see it. Maybe it takes a really, really good
Sunday to
get in.
It's like that Squidward meme. You know the Squidward meme when he's up in his room and he sees SpongeBob and Patrick playing on the...
Are they that far out or are they just...
No.
Because there's a level outside.
Actually, he's engaged. He's caged into that house there. I don't know if they're that far out, but they're on the outside looking in. They're like, I want to be in there.
There's three levels. There's inside the bubble. There's just on the outside. You almost got like one hand inside the bubble.
Yeah, and then there's a Squidward level.
There's the Squidward level where, sorry, but you're still looking a little too far away. Why don't you start us off? Because I know I'm pretty harsh on teams this year. I've said it. I mean, try and name me six good NFL teams. I think you'll have a hard time. Whereas last year I was Mr. What an amazing league the NFL is. There's so much parity. There's 15 teams that can win the Super Bowl this year. There's so much competition. This year I'm like, nope. To quote the great Tom Brady, there's a lot of bad football out there. So we'll see how my bubble looks.
Well, you go ahead. I'll start with mine. We'll talk about the teams that are inside the Super Bowl bubble. So everyone's looking at them. You know, the wannabes, right? The kids in the yard that everyone wants to be friends with. So you got the Bills, got Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and that great defense. You got their Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Juju, Travis Kelce. You got the Eagles. Obviously, it's hard to discredit the Eagles. We'll get into them later on about how just how long their undefeated streak will go. And then you got the Cowboys, you know, my beautiful Cowboys, and the 49ers. And those San Francisco 49ers, they can run the ball, they can throw the ball. They clearly have their Achilles heel in Jimmy Garoppolo, but it's still a Super Bowl team in my opinion. So I'm going to go out on a limb here, Pac, and I'm going to say that out of these five teams, I think none of them will make the Super Bowl at the end of the year.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
Picking my Dolphins to make it to the Super
Maybe
Bowl.
Maybe Pac. But I want to hear yours.
That,
maybe
would be, that would be a massive shock. Mine, I'm a little bit more exclusive inside my Super Bowl. But I only have three teams there. To me, it's very, very easy when I watch these three teams. They are a level above the rest of the pack. And there are still some good teams after them, but these three are just too elite. They've shown zero to no holes so far this season. The Bills, the Chiefs, and the Eagles. That's who I have inside my bubble.
I mean, there's not much else to add to that. It's those teams have clearly been the top tier, the upper echelon teams sort of this year. I have the Cowboys and 49ers in mind just because I feel like they can compete with them. Maybe they play 10 games, they lose six, win four sort of thing. So I think it's fair to put them in. But I'm not going to fight you on it. I think those three teams are no-brainers. They're probably in everybody's Super Bowl bubble if they were to do one at the same time as us. Next step, the on-the-bubble teams. So their hands in. Actually, I don't know if it's fully in. Maybe just the fingertips are in. But you got the Ravens.
Yep.
You got those Dolphins who maybe the Dolphins, maybe it's something the elbow.
They got not an elbow. They got a fin. They got a fin in.
Maybe a single fin in. And this might shock some people, but the Cincinnati Bengals for me. I think the Bengals still, assuming that Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, he wasn't placed on the injured reserve, which tells me that the team is hopeful that he could return in maybe 2-3 weeks. I think it's probably closer to 3-4. But still, that means he's going to return this year, and he's going to compete. And we all know that this team with Ja'Marr Chase is just a way different team, right? Like him and Joe Burrow were able to carry them all the way to the Super Bowl last year. So I think it's fair to say that they're on the bubble. Not necessarily in, not as in as the Dolphins. They don't have no fin in, but you know, a Bengal paw maybe on this outside.
Yeah, I'm a little meaner to those Bengals. I don't have them in mind, spoiler. So I got two of them here that you had in the bubble, and that's the Cowboys and the 49ers, and I have the Dolphins and the Ravens. Very, very going back and forth on the Vikings. Are they at the level of this team? They have a great record. Their record says they are. I saw them go up against the Eagles. It was a horrible performance from Kirk Cousins. I think he's just a little too volatile in the sense that you never know what you're going to get. You can get a bad game from Kirk, and those games happen to fall in big moments as well. So does that scare me a little bit come playoff time? Because I do think they're going to win this division. I don't know. I still need to see a little bit more from the Vikings, but they're very, very close to this level. And I'll put the Bengals, again, not on this level. They'd be one back with the Vikings for me.
Interesting. You know what? Speaking of the Vikings, if you asked me this question, so not only did we benefit from the show getting canceled this morning, I think the Minnesota Vikings benefited just a little bit when it comes to my Super Bowl bubble. Before, I wouldn't have put them even on the teams that, even on the Squidward level, I wouldn't have had the Vikings.
You hated the Vikings
even,
this morning.
Even though they were 6-1, like, hey, look, I don't hate the Vikings. I'm still not as high on the Vikings just because of Kirk Cousins, the Kirk Cousins element, I like to call it, the Kirk Cousins element. But you look at Kirk and the Vikings just added TJ Hawkinson, which I think was the one thing that they were missing on the offense. I think they were missing that tight end that could stretch the field, they could block. They didn't have a threat. Now they do. With that being said, I don't necessarily believe that the Vikings, like if you said, okay, the Vikings have to play a playoff game, it's looking like it's going to be on the road against the Eagles, against the Cowboys, against the 49ers, let's say, hypothetically speaking. I don't think they're going to win. I don't even think they would beat those teams on at home, right? Like, look, the Vikings, outside of that week one game against Green Bay, like, they've been playing some pretty shaky games. They played week two against Philadelphia where they got pumped on Monday Night Football. It's unfair to assume because, actually, there is playoff games on Monday night now, which is Achilles heel. If the Vikings play on Monday night, Kirk Cousins on Monday Night Football, no good. But
pack it up. Pack up the locker. And
right? If the Super Bowl was played at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, I think I'd pick the Vikings. I think they'd pick the Vikings to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, like, 1 o'clock, Kirk's a real thing.
He's the best quarterback in NFL history at 1 o'clock.
He's really good. Then, like, if you were just remove all the primetime games from his career, he'd be well over 500 record. Because I think all time he's maybe one game above 500 now that they won on Sunday. Because he's just
and he's got like 2-9 record or 2-10 record on Monday Night Football. So if you take that out, it's pretty good football.
Yeah,
football record. Like,
I like to see that you're a little higher on the Vikings than you were this morning.
Yeah,
which we'll never hear because the audio is lost forever.
It is lost.
But yeah, like it's fair. I like I said, I still need to see a little bit more. but I like them. I think I might be higher on the Vikings than I am on the Bengals.
You had the Vikings on the bubble. No,
I didn't either. But I sort of wanted.
So you would say like, okay, the Vikings could be joining there in the next month or so if they continue it up, right? Like I think that's fair to say. Along with the Rams and the Bucks and the Titans.
I'm
like,
so
that's what
far
I,
out on the Rams. But okay, but I was last year 1.2 when they won the Super Bowl. So we'll see.
You never know. Still I think early. The Rams still got potential. I don't necessarily think they're a team to be reckoned with. I think the Bucks are a team that's going to be very interesting look sort of come second half of the season, because I think it's fair to assume now that we know, obviously it was hypothetical with everything that's happening in Brady's personal life. I do think that, I'm not using it as an excuse, but I do think it genuinely affected his preparation and his performance, just because it's a pretty big deal, right? Like that's it could take a lot out of you, and when you're going through something as serious as that. So now that's sort of behind him, let's see if Brady can sort of move on from that and be solely committed to football. I would like to see how the Bucks sort of how he bounces back from the situation, and the Titans too. Like the Titans just are a unified team. They run the ball very well, and they could beat you if the only thing with the Titans is if the game doesn't go their way, it's going to be very hard for them to play from behind. But if the Titans get a one possession, two possession lead early in the game, where they can control the clock, run the ball, Derrick Henry, they become a tough team to win, to beat against. So the Vikings, the Rams, the Bucks, and the Titans are teams that are on my Squidward level. Like, you know, they're looking up there. Mike Vrabel's looking outside. Jalen Hurts is in the Batman costume. Just came back from trick-or-treating.
I love Mike Vrabel. And the Titans just won't go down. Every year we sit here and we say, every year, this is the year that they fall off. This year they lost A.J. Brown. They have no threat to, you know, in the receiving level. And Derrick Henry continues to carry this team on his back. So good for the Titans, but not good enough for me. Because, hey, the AFC is definitely the stronger conference. If the Titans were in the NFC, I think they'd be competitive with, you know, or maybe I'd even pick them to go all the way. But I don't know. You alluded to it earlier. Let's go into the team that both of us had no-brainer right in there. And rightfully so. They're undefeated through 8 weeks. The Philadelphia Eagles have put together a very, very special season thus far. And I don't know. I've been looking at their schedule.
I have it right up. You want me to read it?
Yeah. I've been thinking, like, when are they going to lose a game? Because I don't want to take anything away from what they've accomplished thus far, but they really haven't played anyone that spectacular. I think the only real tough game they had was against the Vikings at home on Monday Night Football. They blew them out. And then when they played your Cowboys, there was no Dak Prescott. So other than that, they've sort of just been taking down easier opponents. Can't control who you play. Good on them for, you know, next man up and winning each week. But looking at the schedule, saying, okay, when's it going to get harder? And I'd love for you to just read off the schedule for everybody.
Yeah, of course. So they got, they're on the road in Houston this week, along with the Phillies in the World Series. Then they got the Commanders at home the following week. Then they go to Indianapolis, play the Colts. Then they got back-to-back games at home against the Packers and the Titans. Then they're on a three-game road trip against the Giants, the Bears, and the Cowboys on Christmas Eve. And then they finish the year at home going against the Saints and the Giants. So, yeah, you look at the schedule and you're like, okay, maybe the Eagles are going to join the Patriots and the Dolphins as the only teams to go undefeated in the regular season in NFL history, right? Like, this is a realistic possibility. Now, say what you want about the schedule. A team doesn't really control their schedule, right? So that's why I don't like to criticize a team by like, oh, look at their schedule. Their schedule is a joke. The teams will get to pay who they play against. But I will say my only remaining question mark with the Philadelphia Eagles is I want to see them play a game where the game script doesn't necessarily go in their favor, right? Because you look at every game they've played this year, they've taken a lead early and they're able to run the ball, control the clock, let Jalen Hurts use his legs, use Miles Sanders and control time of possession, let their defense work, and just bang, 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 just control the entire game. I want to see the Eagles, the only remaining question mark, I'm not saying, oh, I want to see that before I consider them legit. We just put them in our Super Bowl bubble. I want to see the Eagles, the only remaining question mark is how can they play a game, let's say if they go down a possession or two early, right? Are they able to overcome and come back and win that game? And I think for the team's sake, you'd want that to sort of happen in the next sort of 9-10 weeks, because you don't want your first experience of that being in the playoffs, right? Because that could put a lot of pressure on a young team, especially on a young quarterback like Jalen Hurts. But going back to the original question, how long will they stay undefeated? I really don't. I start two games here. I have them at home against Tennessee, who play a very similar game to the Eagles in the sense that they like to get up early and control the clock and run the ball. And then on the road at Dallas on Christmas Eve, right? Like, and the Eagles could be 14-0 going into that game against Dallas, right? Like, we're looking at a schedule that's very, very favorable for those Philadelphia Eagles, and I genuinely don't know when they're going to lose, right?
Yeah, like, I think you're completely fair when you say that if there's one, and it's not even really a criticism, it's just more something that you want to see from this team, because they haven't really dealt with a lot of adversity this year, and they're not really battle-tested. And there's going to come a time in the playoffs where you got to go up against a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes, and they just really haven't faced that level of threat so far this year. I don't know. I can't see them going undefeated. Like, they have some very easy games, but I think it's just too hard to maintain that level of consistency. And by no means, if they lose to the Commanders or the Bears, will I be like, oh, I'm out on the Eagles. Because bad games happen in this league. Like, one game's not going to be like, okay, enough with this team. But like I said, there's a lot of easy games left, and they have so much momentum right now, and they're rolling that, like, I don't know. I feel like maybe this week against Houston, the World Series is happening at the same time. Maybe they split where Philly wins the World Series game and Houston wins the football game, or the opposite happens. I don't know. I feel like something weird can happen on a short week on the road, as bad as Houston is and as good as Philadelphia is. That's just a silly prediction.
But I don't think it's that silly, though. Like, look, slip-ups, like you mentioned, slip-ups happen. In the NFL, like, there's going to be games where there's going to be a Sunday where you're not necessarily feeling it, and a team's going to take advantage of that. Like, a team like the Commanders, that's a
divisional game, yeah.
Or against the Giants, right? Like, that's a divisional game. Those games necessarily are a little bit closer. And we're also looking at maybe Green Bay turns it around. That could be suddenly a game that could be a little bit more difficult. And in Chicago, maybe it's a cold game. Justin Fields could be, who knows? Chase Claypool will be good.
Back to back
100-yard games. Maybe he's dominating at that time. You never really know. We're just predicting. It's a long way out. But, like, if I was a betting man, which I am, unfortunately. I mean, not unfortunately. The Hammer segment's coming up soon. But I would honestly think, like, if I'm just looking at the schedule here, I genuinely think the only game that they have a chance of losing is probably that Dallas game on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, and like, looking at the teams they play, but I think it's going to be a weird, like,
exactly,
it'll be a weird one. I think they're going to get upset by someone where, like, no one sees it coming. They're 9-point favorites and they end up losing. But just the thing about Philly is, like, it's hard for them to have those games because of how well rounded they are.
Yes.
Because if you look at the other great teams in the league, the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs specifically, they are so reliant on their, you know, one dynamic player, one area of the game. You know, the Bills, Josh Allen. It's a Josh Allen show. He runs the ball, he throws the ball. The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes is the engine that powers that team. If he just has one off day, they're probably going to lose. Philly is just not like that at all. Yes, Jalen Hurts has been their best player this year, and he's taken such a big jump, but he gets it done in the air. He gets it done on the ground. Miles Sanders chips in. You got A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, and that's just the offense. And they can beat you in the trenches, too, with the best offensive line in football.
Yes.
Defense, probably the best front seven in football. And then you got Darius Slay and James Bradbury having the seasons of their lives. It's the most balanced football team I've seen in some time. Like, the Bucs a couple years ago when they won the Super Bowl had a really, really strong roster. This one, I think, rivals it.
It definitely does. And you look at offense, like, they got A.J. Brown, they got Devontae Smith. Oh, if you want to cover, you want to double A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, you got Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders. On defense, they got Darius Slay, James Bradbury. Like, they got playmakers all the time. Robert Quinn, to add now to that equation, a guy that's been double-teamed pretty much every single week in Chicago, and now he's going to be able to tee off because you simply can't double him, right? But yeah, this Philadelphia team's a very good, well-balanced team. And we realistically could be looking at sort of a team that, I mean, I don't want to say historic, but let's say they do go undefeated. This is suddenly in a historic team. Like, that's only been two other times in regular season.
They're not going undefeated.
I don't think they will either. But it's like,
it scares you when you look at that schedule.
Because it's hard.
Very possible.
Because it is possible.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
It is possible. Look, you got to assume that there's going to be some sort of upset in there. I would feel a little better if they were playing, like, let's say, a team like Arizona.
Yeah.
In there.
Arizona actually played a pretty decent game against them already.
Or like, even like a team like, honestly, if Denver was on that schedule, they were playing in Denver.
Not with Russ.
The high knees, though? Come on.
I'm such a hater.
Come on, the high knees?
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's too hard. 17 weeks straight.
Yeah, it's road, tough. You got to be perfect, right?
It's so demanding to be that excellent every single week in a league where it's just the best of the best going at it. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think we're going to get closer and closer to the possibility of it happening. And like the next 3 weeks, Houston, Commanders, Indy, then the Packers, who have lost four in a row. It's like, ugh. They're going to be double-digit favorites in every single game.
Yeah, touchdown favorites at least. Like, touchdown favorite against Houston. Well, there's two touchdown favorites. Touchdown favorite against Commanders. Touchdown favorite against the Colts. Touchdown favorite against the Packers. Against the Titans. Probably touchdown favorites too. At New York, maybe like 6.5. It depends what they're looking like at that time. At Chicago, touchdown favorites. At Dallas, maybe like 3 points. So, look, out of their next 12... No, that's not 12 games. Oh, no, 10. Out of the next 10 games, they're going to be touchdown favorites in 9 of the 10 games, yeah. Right? If they were playing them now. So, that's saying something. Like, you're obviously bank on upsets. Upsets happen all the time. I just don't know what game they could possibly get upset looking at this remaining schedule they have here.
All right, to close out the show today, we will end it as we always do with the hammer. Decent week last week. I was 1-1. You were 1-1 as well, which means you were still in first place. You're 8-4 on the year, which is very impressive. I'm 7-5. I need a 2-0 week bad. I don't know. I got first overall pick this week, so it's a little bit encouraging, but I'm not going to lie to you. There are some weeks where I look at the slate and I say there's a lot I like. This is a week where I looked at it and there's a lot that I don't like. So we'll see what happens. I guess I'll just get right into it.
Yeah, go ahead. First overall pick.
First pick this week. I just talked about them because they're facing the Eagles shortly. They lost 4 in a row. They're going into Detroit, and you can get them at just 1.5-point favorites at ProLine Plus. Someone's got to win this game. Detroit's lost 5 in a row. The Packers have lost 4 in a row. So something's got to give. This is the perfect opportunity against such a weak secondary for Aaron Rodgers to just come in and get into a great rhythm with some of his younger wide receivers. I like the Packers to win and -1.5. I mean, if they win, they're probably covering. So I'll take that with my first selection.
My first overall pick, or I should say my number one pick, will be the Eagles -13.5. I think they could win this game by upwards of 20 points, maybe even more. We're talking about a game that's going to be, I mean, the World Series is going to be on, same city. I think the stadium's got to be pretty close. You know, maybe the Eagles fans leave a little early and go catch the Philadelphia game next door. Maybe the Texans. I don't even think there's going to be a single Texans fan in that stadium on Thursday night. Maybe, probably not.
Their games are going at the same time. At least watch the team in your city that's
in the World Series.
That's good.
Yeah, exactly, right? I genuinely think
favored it to win.
We might see a sea of green and red because the Phillies are going to be playing too, and maybe they're going to leave. Maybe there might actually be zero fans in there after the second quarter because this game's not even be close. Eagles -13.5. At Betway, look, the line's great. It's -105. Like I mentioned, this is going to be a game. I recommend if you don't have to watch this game like we do, do not watch it because I'm going to have the TV on and then I'm going to change by like the second quarter. The baseball game's going on the TV and the computer is becoming Dazen or whatever you like to call it.
The zone. Who calls it Dazen?
Whatever you like to call it. I don't even think they've come out and said what it's supposed to be called.
Nobody outside of Canada, actually, they still have that. You just can't watch football on it in the States.
Which is crazy. But yeah, that game's going right to the computer.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's Thursday night. It's another week of Thursday night football not being the greatest. Sooner or later, we're going to have to... I'm going to petition to end Thursday night football, but hey, we got 9 more years of this Amazon deal.
Amazon.
Regardless. On to my next pick. This is a fun one. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a stat here. The Atlanta Falcons, who have just been an awesome story this year. Their first place in the NFC South after an electric game against the Panthers last week. Got a little bit lucky, but here they are. They're 7-1 against the spread this year. When I pick them, they're 0-1, but whatever. They're facing the Chargers, and the Chargers are coming off bye. Say what you want. Yeah, that might give them an advantage, but the Chargers have looked awful this year, and I'm really not sold on their coaching. I like the Falcons, +3, lock it in.
Yeah, I like that. That's a lock. I'm not necessarily sold or too confident on that pick as I am with this next pick. I'm going with which another team that got the short end of the stiff based off of the early audio corruption from this morning is those Seattle Seahawks, because we didn't get to start off the show talking about the people's team, the greatest team in the NFL. Not on paper, or not actually, but the people's team, the Seattle Seahawks, Geno Smith-led Seattle Seahawks. Hey, I heard today, I thought Denver would trade for a superstar quarterback, maybe Geno Smith. They could have swapped Russ for Geno Smith today. But I'm going with the Seahawks. I have no idea how they're not favored in this game. The Cardinals are 1-3 straight up against the Seahawks, in the last 4 games, they're 4-7 straight up dating back to 2017. Now, the Seahawks are +1.5 at ProLine Plus, -106. I would even go to say that you could take the money line. But you know what? I'm going to get the 1.5 because I'm a smart better. I'm a smart better here. Geno Smith, he is, and another thing. Kyler Murray, Call of Duty came out this week, right? It's a good Call of Duty game too. Kyler Murray, he's gaming away. He's not doing his homework. He's not preparing for this game. You think Geno Smith's ever played Call of Duty? No shot. He's got the boatload, all these letters that he's going through. He's just reading, not writing back. No writing back for Geno right now. He's going through all the takes. Geno Smith's a bust. That, going back to the days of the New York Jets. Oh, Geno Smith, West Virginia. West Virginia? This guy stinks. He is locking it up. Seattle Seahawks +1.5. Take a money line if you want, because they're going to win. I guarantee it. Seahawks. +1.5 against the Cardinals. The Hammer, I'm going 2-0. You know what? I'm going to be nice to Puck. I think he's going to go 1-1 this week.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 2-0. I was going to say.
But, 2-0 guaranteed.
I was thinking about taking that as my first pick. But it scared me because they just played like 2 weeks ago. And, I mean, I don't know. Just divisional matchup. The Cardinals are horrible at home, though. So, who knows? But that was a very emphatic rant, and it might have swayed me. Maybe I'll tail you. Not in the Hammer, but just personally on the side.
Because, locks, hey, the locks. If for those listening, locks are going to have Seahawks in it this week.
I'm a big Seahawks fan, and we spent 30 minutes. 12th
man, 12th man jersey, best jersey in football. The neon green, 12th man, action green.
So nice that jersey, beautiful. I don't know how you don't like it. It's so nice.
I'm going to get it framed maybe for the studio.
All right, that's going to be it for the show today. Thank you for making it to the end. If you did, it was actually worked out that we got to talk about a lot of these trades, because there were a lot of them in the trade deadline for the first time in a while. Actually delivered. So yeah, thanks for listening, guys. See you next week.
Yeah, see you next Tuesday. Obviously, again, if you're listening to this on audio, subscribe, rate the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, like, comment, do all that fun stuff. Next time we see you guys, I'm gonna have some sort of stubble. I gotta shave still because it is November now. I don't know if Pac is joining me.
I'm on the fence.
Me and Pac also got a nice charity tournament on Saturday. Yep. Charity football tournament. So I will be the championship of that. I will be
leading the CTB team. We'll see if it's to victory. I won't be participating.
Maybe this helmet will make a comeback, and maybe I'll make my quarterback, because you know I'm not the quarterback. I'm a receiver. I'm the best receiver in the league. But
yeah,
you know, 3 touchdowns first week, by the way. So maybe, you know, maybe I make a late career comeback. Maybe I'll join the CFL, Toronto Argos. Maybe get scouted by the Dolphins, maybe to take over.
I'm not sold on
for Mike Gesicki, because you know he's going to be a free agent next year or in 2 years, and they need a tight end to cover up. So hey, that wraps it up. We'll see you guys next Tuesday, and hope you guys are taking care.
Take care, guys.
See you.